Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Ready.
I know.
Good.
I know. I don't even have to think about it. So now, you went to see, well, we've seen a lot of things since Avengers, but you went to see new X-Men movie.
I did.
Yeah. And that's all you want to say about that. Yeah.
I spent my money and I went and sat.
Oh my God. The popcorn
well, this,
was good.
You know, you can tell how I felt about it because I think this is the only time in my life that in the middle of a movie, I went up and got more butter on my popcorn because we had eaten halfway through it and the butter was gone. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah. That's
I don't think
bad.
I've ever actually done that before, but I was like, yeah, I'll just go get some more.
Yeah. You went out, you played a video game, you know, you did a few things, you made a phone call.
And I mean, okay, so I will say this. I don't want to, you know, spoil too much because I know that you haven't seen it yet and I'm not sure how anybody else is feeling about it, but they got more right than X-Men 3 did about the Dark Phoenix origins and everything. Still not necessarily on, you know, that like nerd level of like, I've read this so many times. This is not what you're talking about, you know? But it was something I just felt like they were just leaning in. They were like, okay, this is what we're doing with this franchise. These are our stars and we're going to make the most of this. And I still have the same problem that I've had with some of the other ones where they kind of make, Mystique's position, and her role and everything so much like
so more
emphasized
than,
anything.
Yeah.
Like everyone was in love with her and everyone had, and I'm just like, okay, I mean, I like Jennifer Lawrence. I genuinely do. But number one, I've said before, I don't think that she was the best call for Mystique as an actor. And just the roles that they've written that way are so convoluted. And even my boyfriend, who's not a comic book fan, like he hasn't like read the comics, but he's seen all the movies, you know, he enjoyed the movies. He at the end of the movie was like, so I don't understand. How can any of the other things be real? And I'm like, well, maybe they're doing alternate timelines and they're doing, oh, Alexa, stop.
I thought they fixed that so well with Days of Future Past, right? Because they finally got everything back on track and
they had. I'm so sorry, I have an alarm going off. Alexa, cancel alarm. Thank you.
Alexa, like when I argue with Alexa in my house, too, it's like, Alexa, stop. Did you say you want to hear stop in the name
I'm like,
of
no?
Alexa, please.
But
don't argue with me.
It's so much that is weird and like the relationships that they force on people like are weird and like it's just all of it was weird. It was all weird. It was kind of like, you know, you're just sitting watching this other thing happen that's not actually X-Men. You know, like you're just kind of like, okay, well, I watched that movie that was kind of like, you know how there's those knockoff toys you see in Taiwan or something that are like, you know,
the little
boys
street vendor
instead of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle it's like, you know, green men, you know.
Well, it's kind of like when they did when they had like an X-Men type show on Sci-Fi at one point. I forget even the name of it, where it was kind of like, was it X Factor or something? They did some show that was supposedly in the universe. This was like right around the time of the first X-Men. I think it was, I forgot who was even like playing a Professor X-like character, but it was very, you know, it was very low budget, very, you know, not, you know, barely any attention played to it. Oh, no, that was the other thing I read too, is that they changed the ending multiple times on this movie.
Yes, I did hear that another superhero movie came out in theaters while they had already filmed the end of this one, but it wasn't even near like releasing. Yeah. And they said the ending of one of the other hero movies that came out was so similar that there was no possible way that they could, in good conscience, move forward and not reshoot it, because it would have just been a joke, you know, which still kind of was. But I appreciate that they're like, no, we've got to do something different, you know, and that's got to be tough for any movie. So I definitely give credit where credit is due there, because how devastating to have filmed everything and be ready for, you know, your post-production and ramping everything up, and then have, you know, the wind taken out of your sails by something else doing basically what you you had done. Well, I know that's pretty common in Hollywood, but it's also pretty common in comic books. There's a lot of repeat, you know, storylines and recycled ideas, maybe not even intentionally. Sometimes yes, but sometimes no. It's just,
you just reminded me of you know, people are still going crazy about the Snyder cut for Batman, for Justice League. Mm-hmm. And now there's a new, you know, it's like the JFK conspiracy thing, because it's like, there's an editor who claims that the cut was edited together and that visual effects were done, but they were in previs. So they're far enough along that a cut could be completed, because there was talk about how, you know, Warner Brothers said, well, there's not really a completed version of this to show anyone that would be viewable. But that's, you know, so you have all these people coming out of witness protection to say that, no, that's not true. You know, there is a cut and all that. But what makes me laugh about that is, you know, it doesn't matter if he gets a Snyder cut. We saw Superman, Man of Steel. We saw Batman versus Superman.
Right.
What do they think is going to be so different with the Snyder cut that we haven't seen already that's going to change anything about that movie? Nothing, you know, it's just going to be more convoluted than it probably was. So it just reminded me of that. I just saw an article on that today
I hadn't really been paying attention to that, but I have to say, if I understand, you know, we all remember why he was out of commission for that. And obviously all of our best thoughts go out to him and his family. But as a creative director for the DC universe, cinematic universe, he wasn't hitting the mark even there. And if he couldn't get his team to like be on the same page with his vision long before he had any tragedy, you know what I mean? Like, just in general, having your supporting players, your team of assistant directors, co-directors, or even just your board of directors. On the same kind of visionary path as you, you know, you should be able to have somebody else step in and still create a reasonably in line kind of thing. I don't know.
That's, well, that whole thing was there, but I mean, I know the tragedy happened and everything, but apparently that was not really the reason why he didn't come back. Like, that was already kind of, 'cause apparently that happened like months before or something. Like, I was reading this whole article about this. It's so convoluted, but it's,
well, I thought that he had tried and then realized it was too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it turned out he was fired is really what it went down. And,
I did not read that.
There's a lot of, I mean, he actually talked about that at some other, every time there's like a little blurb or something, I always kind of see where it comes up from, and a lot of it has been him making, you know, at conventions and at appearances and making these, you know, comments and saying these things. So there was more to it than that. It wasn't even, that's why they even started from scratch. That's why they even threw out all of the, you know, Darkseid stuff, because that was really what it was leading up to. It wasn't
right.
This was supposed to be the end all be all. Darkseid was really where it was all going to go.
Which is weird, because I'm surprised they threw that out, because that wasn't a bad idea from him. I mean, that is a really amazing, like, epic villain for them to face off against.
Yeah. Unless it was just, you know, the with Batman and Superman, you know how it was weirdly complicated, but watered down all at the same time, to the point that you didn't really feel anything. Like, it could have been one of those situations, because that was a big problem with Batman and Superman, is like, there's great things in it, but then
the emotional connection was.
Yeah. You don't care about anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched it so many times, you know,
have
just,
you?
just, Just, well, I feel like I'm, it's that old joke. I'm going to watch it until I like it, you know, like, and it never stuck actually like that. Plus every time it was on HBO, I kind of put it on just to see, cause visually it is an interesting looking film. Like I like all the elements.
Agreed. But, I can be with you on that one.
Yeah. But but Justice League, I've watched twice, maybe once in the theater, once at home. Mm. And yeah. I haven't even like thought about it, you know, like it's not even comes up in my,
I watched it in the theater, and then when it was on at home, I think I tried to put it on, but like did not make it through. Like, it just didn't, I couldn't.
I know. There's just too much other stuff better stuff on that. You're like,
there is.
I want to waste two hours on this, you know?
And that's what I'm hoping for the X franchise, for, the X-Men universe, now that we are folded into Marvel and Fox is no longer at the helm, I'm really looking forward to what they do with it and where they go and what stories they can tell, what actors, what fresh perspectives they can pull out for it. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Disney also knows what they're doing. I mean, obviously Marvel knew what they were doing on their own, but since being acquired by Disney, has not faltered. And I really do believe that they can pull a really strong kind of phoenix from the ashes, you know, pardon the metaphor, because there are so many amazing stories there. I mean, growing up, I was never in one camp or the other. I loved X-Men and read them, you know, religiously, but I loved Batman and read him, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. So I was DC and Marvel. I don't think that one should be winning over the other as far as what the comic content was what there is to pull from. But I mean, it's obvious, you know, there's no contest in the films currently, but there's so much potential there.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think that they should. I mean, obviously whatever they do is probably going to be brilliant. So, you know, who am I? But I don't necessarily think that they should bring in the X-Men to the MCU in the way that they have, like Guardians of the Galaxy, where now all of a sudden they're running around with the Avengers. It might be cool for them to, you know, stay on their own for a while. And yeah, they can still do team ups. They have all of this amazing potential for crossovers in the future and stuff, but there are so many characters and so many stories that are, you know, able to be explored in the X universe. It would be really cool to see that kind of love and attention given the same weight and value as some of the other stories that we've seen.
Yeah, they don't have to redo anything. Like that's, I know that they've got to recast, obviously, Professor X, mm-hmm. and they've got to recast, you know, Wolverine, or maybe they don't, you know, there's so many ways they can go. I mean, we can start with them already existing, knowing each other and kind of do what they do with Spider-Man in a way where you just, you don't need all of the setup. You just there and you're getting set up as you go, or you can start from complete scratch. Problem with starting from complete scratch is I think, you know, fantastic. I watched part of Fantastic Four the other day, the new one that had come out that I completely forgot about. And I'd never seen it before. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe this is Fantastic Four. Like, this is so like dull. Like, there's just like nothing happening
in
this movie.
They've all been dull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the first one's at least, I mean, the first one was ridiculous, but the second one, at least they were trying something. You know, they had Silver Surfer. Yeah. They had something going on.
Galactus.
Well,
a shadow.
But that one that came out was the dark one that I don't know. I don't even understand what they were going for with that. Like, that was a big mess. So that's one group that I look forward to them kind of adding in. And again, I know they can't really add them in now because, you know, they already established New York as being Tony's, but I think it's perfect now that one of the rumors is that the Avengers Tower becomes, it is bought by, Osborn. So that's kind of Osborn's building.
Like Oscorp,
becomes Oscorp. And, that's almost like a perfect thing where then the Baxter building kind of becomes the counterpoint to that building, you know, much like in the comics. So you have that kind of representation.
That's interesting.
So, but,
that's interesting. And just bouncing off of you bringing up Spider-Man characters again, I know we had commented, and it's so true, in the theater, watching the newest Spider-Man trailer, it's number one, complete spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Endgame. And a lot of people don't necessarily have money to go to the theater and everything. So I think that's kind of lame that they're spoiling movies that haven't made it to, not even to rent on Amazon yet. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not even like, let alone like on Netflix or something. I get that, but it's not even available to rent. You still would have to go see it in a theater if you were going to go see it.
Yeah.
And they're spoiling who's not with us anymore in the latest trailer for Spider-Man. And that's tough. Because I mean, I have people in my life that didn't get to go see it just because of different circumstances, not necessarily financial, but you know, they have different responsibilities. They have other things they have to take care of. It's not the priority, even though they're big fans. And I really wish that that wasn't the case, because they could still have these compelling trailers without spilling any spoilers from Endgame.
Yeah. I feel like they might as well have went down the gamut of, this is what happens at the end of Sixth Sense. This is at the end of Citizen Kane. You know, like, just go through the whole.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And the other thing there being, God, this trailer, again, had so much plot in it that I was like, oh, you guys. Come on. I mean, I really have gotten to the point, and I've said this before too. Again, I don't seek out trailers close to releases anymore, because I know that this is a pattern that people do, but it drives me nuts, because even when you're not looking for it, it hits you in the face and you're like, no, I don't want to know this much about it. I want to be surprised.
That's what's so crazy. And it's funny, like movie, like even like Star Wars, they keep everything so tight and so secretive. And literally a month before the movie comes out, you know, basically everything just from all the promotion that's been out. Like, and it's like, well, why can't you keep that secrecy all the way through? Like, you could still do, you know, you could still sell it without, I mean, that's, I think this is the thing where marketing and filmmakers have to get together. I think too many times, you know, marketing just kind of goes off on its own and decides, you know, I could show this clip, which happens to be at the end of the movie, but no one will know, you know? So that's why Avengers marketing, the last movie was brilliant. Because I thought, I kept thinking they're giving everything away. Meanwhile, they gave nothing away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, completely. I think they showed the first, you know, stuff from the first 10 minutes of the movie. And that was about it. Like, they didn't give away anything. So I wish.
And man, I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. It made me want to play the Spider-Man game again.
Yeah.
The last one that came out that was so good. I have played every inch of that, although I have a couple. I think I still have two DLCs that I haven't gone to because they came out when I was playing something else and I didn't plug it back in.
Oh, that's fine.
So I have two DLCs have that, too.
It's probably the same too. Yeah, I have two that I have to. Did you see the trailer for the Avengers game coming out? That's made by the same people that did Spider-Man?
Only all the memes. All the memes that it's like everyone's the Avengers stunt doubles and that Captain America looks like Cobb County PD, which is my local police department. But no, I haven't seen the trailer for it.
Well, the only thing that made me excited was because it's the same, you know, the same group that did the Spider-Man one. And because that one's so brilliant and so like the way they told the story, like I obviously they couldn't get like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. or anybody's faces in this one, but. I was thinking that I'm like, they're just close enough to be them without being sued by, you know, for licensing or something like that, because they do. Yeah. That's a good joke. They do look like the stunt people for the real one.
Yeah. Makes me think of that Spaceballs.
Yeah. That's almost exactly what it looks like. That's funny.
I love it.
But yeah, so I'm excited about that. I didn't even know that was coming out. Like I'm actually kind of.
Yeah, me neither.
And I guess it's been teased for like 2 years, but I'm like, first I'm hearing of it. So I, you know, it's not like I've been sitting around waiting for it.
I know, I'm so out of the loop. My favorite E3 meme, though, since we were talking about it, was the you versus the guy she told you not to worry about. And the you is Norman Reedus in Death Stranding, because we've been talking about it for so long and so excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then The guy she tells you not to worry about is Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077.
I saw that.
And I'm like, yes, but I can have them both.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's true. They're going to be such different types of games, I think. You know what I mean? They're really going to fulfill different pockets of that market, where I know that Death Stranding is going to be incredible, but heavy and dark and slow. And Cyberpunk 2077, which I have not seen the play for, but I mean, the vibe I'm getting is much more lively action.
I'm just kind of surprised he did all the motion capture stuff for that. Like, he's just part of it, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, I like how you're asking me. Like, I know.
Oh,
yes.
You don't know?
Well,
yeah,
when we developed this game,
yes, when you filmed
it
with him.
I made sure to put that in the contract.
Yeah, no, I thought it was just a joke. Like, he really is in that game, though, right? Like, I guess so.
I mean, unless that's a joke that I don't know about.
Yeah, because I didn't know if it was real or if that was just because I knew Norman Reedus was in that other game, but I didn't know Keanu Reeves was doing it. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, you know. He seems to be everywhere these days.
I know.
But
he's definitely having a moment, which is great because he has them pretty regularly. Like, it's kind of like Keanu Reeves moments come around quite often. But I really appreciate this one right now because it seems like for the first time, he's kind of getting in on it a little bit where he's like, oh, I had no idea. Like,
yeah.
You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, he is so funny. He hides in plain sight in a weird way because I know I've seen videos of him on the subway. And there was one time we saw him really up close. It was he was coming out of David Letterman, and it was right when Speed came out. And so it was me and Dave were there, and then he came out and he was signing people's autographs. And some girl handed him his phone, her phone, and he's like, "Hello, yeah, no, it's me, Keanu. You know, how you doing?" And everybody, and I can imagine the person on the phone's like freaking out. But he seems, I don't know, he seemed kind of like a cool guy. He didn't seem annoyed, you know, by any of that.
Yeah, no. Well, that's just it. He seems like a genuinely charming guy. So, you know, just a genuinely lovely person who also is like a badass action hero and a romantic, you know, sappy movie star and, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure kind of funky, fresh kind of,
you know,
he's really versatile and everybody can appreciate him. He doesn't have any crazy scandals. He's always really mindful about being respectful. He's getting a lot of props for that right now. Everybody's circulating the photos of him, like, not touching women inappropriately during photos that they're asking for. You know what I mean? Like, with his just hands out and not actually
he chops them off.
Anyone.
Yeah, he chops them off right before the photo, and he's just like, "That's it. I'm not touching anyone." Well, even that clip with him on Colbert when they asked him about death. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You saw.
I don't remember.
He says something like, "What do you think happens when you die?" And he's like, "I think the people who love you will miss you." And that was his. That's what he said, and everyone was kind of like, "Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly." And everyone was kind of like stunned and like, and Stephen Colbert didn't even say anything after that. He just shook his head and said, "Yeah, Keanu Reeves, you know, ladies and gentlemen." Yeah. That was the end of the interview.
Well, that's really sweet. Yeah. See, that's just it. That's the perfect like Keanu thing to say.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
But I can't wait. There's so many games that are going to come out. I know that this has been a great season for fun movies to go to, even the ones that I'm not loving. You know what I mean? Like, I've had a movie I've wanted to go to every single week. I still have a couple that I haven't gotten to. I still want to see Detective Pikachu because I started playing Pokemon Go. So now I can recognize some of the Pokemon because I only knew like the main ones that everybody knows, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, oh, okay. Hey.
And it's so funny. Cause I've had, you know, are you able to see the Pokemon now that we're friends, Pokemon friends, are you able to see what I have or I don't know.
Probably, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how any of it works. I just downloaded it cause I'm walking more and figured it would be fun because I like to play video games and why not play one while I'm out and about.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know the details.
You are our first friend because me and Xavier have been playing for all these years. That's why, yeah, the name, that's his name. He created that character. So that's what that weird name
is. Yeah.
He was only 3 years old when he created that name. So that gives you an idea.
But that's so sweet. But, I know. And that's what was funny is like when I told my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm playing Pokemon Go. Everyone's like, now?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, I know. I know it's like 5 years later, but you know.
They're like the mean girls. We're all playing Fortnite. I don't know what you're doing in Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't care then. Now it's relevant to me.
Yeah. Well, they keep updating and
they keep doing stuff. But I want to watch the Detective Pikachu movie and I want to watch Brightburn. I still really want to go see that.
Yeah, I forgot that even came out.
Did we talk about Godzilla last show?
No,
or did
no.
We not get into it.
No, we haven't.
I think last show was just Avengers.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Godzilla at all.
Yeah, so Godzilla. I know we got to both see that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. I had a lot of fun with it. I had little minor gripes with it. Only I keep saying they Michael Bay'd a lot of it, you know, like they did a lot of stuff with the, I feel like they don't know what to do with the human actors in these movies. And
that's always the problem.
Yeah. And I feel like they sometimes overcompensate for that. You know, like if we give them as many confusing plot lines as possible and interweave everybody in a weird way, you know, that'll cover up a lot of things. And that bothered me a little bit, but I mean, it was fine enough, but I really loved all the monster stuff. I just, my one biggest complaint is I just wanted a daytime fight. That was all I was asking for.
Cause
I felt like it was so dark.
It was like the Battle of Winterfell all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it was like watching a bad converted 3D movie where you put the glasses on and you're like, this movie is way darker with these 3D glasses on than it needs to be, you know, but that's
funny.
But I loved all the odes to the, tributes to the, original Godzilla films. I loved seeing all the monsters. I love seeing Mothra. I love seeing, King Ghidorah and a space Godzilla that I used to call him. I forgot what they called him here. They called him something else here I forgot what they named him, but there was so many great thing. Even like a little nod to the twins in the Mothra series and the old movies, you know, and yeah, I loved a lot of it. You know, it was really worth seeing. And seeing it in IMAX was definitely a nice treat.
Agreed. I went and saw it in IMAX as well. And I thought it was great. I actually didn't think that it was too dark. I was happy with it, but I see after you said that, I can see why a lot of people might think that. But in the film and after the film, that wasn't my first thought.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought the effects were great. I thought that we finally got a lot more time with the monsters, which is great because I always feel like they skew too much time to the humans. And I understand that, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
But
I know.
But I loved it so much. And seriously, I like the last thing I posted when I got out was like, Mothra was everything. She was so amazing.
I know.
Mothra was perfect.
But that's a perfect example. I love Mothra. Mm-hmm. Mothra's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But she's so colorful. And you couldn't see how colorful she was because she was bathed in this very white, kind of like for Babylon 5 fans, when they got out of their shell? What were the Vorlons? Right? Didn't she kind of look like a Vorlon, you know, like when she...
Yeah, but I mean, I was fine with that. And then when you got... I thought that was beautiful. Like, it was almost like the sun was shining and breaking up the darkness. It was very metaphorical.
Yeah.
And it was very like, here she is, Queen Mothra.
Yeah.
And then when you did see her fighting, she wasn't very colorful. It was very dark.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see that. But you got to see more detail of her face and of her body, her thorax, you know,
thorax.
She had some incredible moves. She's like so great. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like I just want more Mothra and Godzilla. Like so great.
Oh, I definitely want more Mothra. Yeah. I'm sure there's gotta be, but I just film it during the daytime. Can they do that one thing? Make sure the weather's nice. So there's no rain, you know, and then I know why they do it. It's covering up all their flaws, but it would just be nice.
Well, sure. And it's nice and dramatic too, having all of the red fire explosions and, you know, the lighting of the electric, you know, fire that everybody's flinging at each other and thunderbolts and lightnings and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
All that kind of stuff is a little more dynamic in the dark. So that's why I thought they did it. But, you know, it's probably better to hide up mistakes, too. You're right.
Was it you that I was talking about how it was weird that Bradley Whitford was the comedic person, but then they had the other guy from Jack McBride. No, not Jack McBride. The guy from Silicon Valley there as well.
Yeah.
Were we talking about that before? Did we?
No.
I think. Okay. So clearly, you know, they both were the comedy person you come back to for one-liners, right? Because they kept doing that. But they had them both in the same place together. So what would be weird is you were like, okay, one of them should die instead of who they killed, right? One of them should die because we don't need two comic relief guys trading. It's like having two Bill Paxtons in Aliens. You know, you only need one Bill Paxton, right? So that was the weird part about that movie is they kept cutting away from the monster so that I can hear some lame one-liner from one of them.
Yeah.
And then back to the monster and then cutting back to what's his name? The guy from Friday Night Lights who's concerned about, so he's got this look on his face like he's constipated and he's got to find a bathroom. You know what I mean? He's always looking around like, he's like an emergency. And then, you know, cut back to the monster. Like that was my only problem with some of it too. Like it really did feel like there was a lot of hugeness in this film and there was a lot of, the money was there, but then I really felt like I saw where they cut corners. Like, all right, we don't have enough VFX, you know, to do this shot. So let's film as many comedy outtakes as possible. Like, and they just had them say things, you know, cause some of the, I'm like, really, we cut back for them to say that, you know, like that's what I was thinking.
Sometimes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I did, yeah, it sounds like I didn't like the movie. I did like the movie, but
I know I always feel that way when I'm dissecting stuff because I will pick out the little flaws because it's kind of like the Princess and the Pea. It's like that one thing that's bothering you. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, it's bothering me. I got to get it out.
Yeah.
But I overall loved the movie. Yeah. I had a great time with it. I thought it was great. I thought it was even better than the last one that they did, which I liked more than, of course, the Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. That's your fucking name. I don't even count that anymore as a god. I don't even know. That was like a Jurassic Park spinoff or something.
Yes. There you go. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. And then you got to go see Rocket Man, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah. I loved Rocket Man. I thought that was, they did such a brilliant thing, which was instead of, you know, when people do biographies like the Queen movie, which I liked as well, but they usually say, well, that's a musical. Well, it's just music in it, but it's not really a musical. This, what they did was they took his story and they took all his songs and they shaped it and made it a musical with other characters singing his songs as well. You know, as in like the way a musical would do, not on stage. So I just thought that was such a brilliant way to celebrate his music, but also to tell his story. And, I've heard some people say, well, the music is out of context because there's some songs that weren't released in this year and that year. And I'm realizing they don't get what they're trying to do because it doesn't matter when the song came out. It's, you know, that intention is still there, whether it came out in 1980 or 19, you know.
Yeah. He didn't like write an opera throughout his entire life,
exactly.
Like 1 year at a time. Like, well, this hit is going to be the next scene.
Yeah.
And then this next hit that I release next year is going to really set up the tearjerker. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but it was really well done. I saw it in a Dolby theater, which if anyone can get down to one of those, I so reckon. Do you have Dolby by you, like AMC Dolby?
No, not that I've seen. I'll have to do a search. The one that I have is just an AMC with a regular IMAX. No, like, extra oomph.
What's so great about it's basically the Atmos, but I guess they renamed it to Dolby. And the screen is huge. To me, it rivals an IMAX screen. It's very close. And the projection is 4K projection, so you're seeing it at the highest quality you can see it in. They even kind of show you a demonstration beforehand about the black level, like this is how you see black level in a normal theater. And this is how you see it in this theater. And even the theater, theater itself is painted black. Like it's all dark. There's speakers inside the seats. So you do feel certain vibrations and things depending on, you know, like, yeah, like Blade Runner, you know, that was like a massage chair, the whole movie, you know, when I'm sitting there. But seeing a musical like that, seeing this movie like that was amazing. Like that, I would highly recommend finding one of, if you've got one. So I saw that like that, and I saw Aladdin like that as well, which.
Nice. I did get to see Aladdin, not in Dolby, but
yeah,
I did get to see it.
Yeah, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I was really surprised.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those movies that I actually was not thinking I was going to go see in the theater because I like Disney as much as, you know, the next 35-year-old girl, but not as much as like a lot of them nowadays.
You know what I mean?
Like there's this kind of like Disney culture right now that's really seriously having a revival, and that's fine. Like do you, man. I am a super hardcore fantasy and sci-fi girl, so I'm not going to take Disney away from anybody because I get it. You know, love what you love. But I really love the old cartoons and the animated movies. And I was never like, I still haven't seen Beauty and the Beast, the live action one. And I still haven't seen Cinderella, the live action one, because I don't care.
Yeah,
I saw the Jungle Book live action one and I liked that because I'm like, oh, animals. And I'll probably want to watch the Lion King one. But this one I ended up watching just because I felt like going to a movie that day and I wanted to go to an early one. And this was the early showing. The only other thing that was playing early was Brightburn, and I wanted to see that one more. I'm like, no, I want to see that one at night.
You know what I mean? that's
like a nighttime movie. I don't want to see that one during the day. So I went and saw Aladdin, and I had a great time. I liked it so much more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
They added some music, they added some things, and I understand why they did. They were definitely trying to give Jasmine a voice. You know, trying to like have her kind of be a little bit more empowered as an individual and not just relying on the men around her. And I appreciate that sentiment. That being said, I didn't like the songs and they felt forced.
Yeah,
and
I was surprised to learn that song
is tough.
It was written by the guys that did The Greatest Showman, which was surprising. Like,
oh, yeah.
They brought them in to do that one song, which was, and what was weird about that song too, I didn't hate it, but it did feel, it was weird the way they split it up in two. Like she sang it twice.
Yeah, it's like she had a recurring theme.
Yeah.
But it's a song, like the whole rest of the movie, everyone knew line by line practically. And then this one thing is real shoehorned in, and it just didn't feel, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. It was very much an empowerment song. Yeah, it was very much an empowerment song.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. I do. I think that they were right to try it. Just because I didn't love it doesn't mean that I think that they shouldn't have put it in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so that thing's in there now. All right. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine.
I just couldn't believe they found something to rhyme with Harvey Weinstein. That was an interesting choice in the song. That was the only thing that was missing. Like, was just like, you know, like, no, Harvey Weinstein can't keep us down. You know, like that was every modern day thing that's happening right now. But, I who surprised me the most though, because I kept seeing clips and scenes, and I was like, because Aladdin was one of my favorites when it came out, and when I saw Will Smith, I was like, oh God, I was like, he looks terrible in this, and I kept thinking, every clip I saw, he was like
well,
normal,
he did.
Like he looked like Will Smith, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna, you know, they're gonna get away from doing this. It couldn't have surprised me once they did the Friend Like Me thing. I was like, wow, he's really doing it. He's not being just Will Smith. He's actually trying to be this character, trying to play tribute to Robin Williams.
Yeah. But still be himself enough that you can see it's Will Smith playing this character. Like, it definitely did give his own flavor to it, but not so much that it felt like Fresh Prince was on the screen.
He reminded me why I liked him.
It was good.
Like, because for a while I stopped liking him in movies, you know?
Yes. Right. Well, because, I mean, I feel like he and Jada and their kids are in that kind of superstar bubble where they become unrelatable anymore. You know what I mean? And it's almost not their fault. I mean, it's just kind of it's that popularity machine, right? The celebrity machine. It just kind of does that to people sometimes. And not everybody can be Keanu Reeves and stay grounded.
Yeah,
cool. Like, but, But yeah, I agree. I felt like this was the first time I really liked Will Smith in a movie too. And you can tell that they did a lot of CG work and different things, even just like his body type changing mm-hmm. as the genie and stuff. You know what I mean? Like was worthwhile. I mean, little subtle things made yeah. the difference, for the film. I thought it was cool. And I thought he did a great job because people forget that he does have a great voice. I mean, I don't know that. I've ever purchased a Will Smith album or anything like that, but
I've never heard him sing before. Like I've heard him rap before, obviously, but never sing. So I was kind of, I wondered, I had heard, I remember seeing commercials and they would show that one scene where he raps a little bit in Friend Like Me. And I thought, oh, I guess he's going to rap through the whole thing. I didn't think he was going to actually sing. So that was surprising too. And my daughter and my Quinn, who's two, and Xavier was five. They loved it. Like my daughter was just, as soon as Friend Like Me came on, she was just like, you know, drumming along to it and just was like glued to the screen.
Yeah.
You know? So they both had a good time. That was the good thing about this movie is it worked for all ages. Like, cause Beauty and the Beast, I didn't mind. Well, it was okay. They made a lot of changes that I didn't really agree with. But watching it at home with the kids, you know, they kind of get bored a little bit, you know, it kind of where they like the original.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one really held their attention. So, I'm Lion King. Yeah. I'm curious to see. I'm so curious.
I'm looking forward to
Lion
King.
The way that was directed is so interesting to me. I want to see a making of because what Jon Favreau described was basically wearing VR goggles on the location and, not even on location. Locations were shot and wearing VR goggles and directing the movie from an office.
That's
essentially
cool.
And with those goggles, I don't really even understand how it works.
I love technology.
I know. I'm so curious to see. I mean, that's such an awesome idea. Like that was, I actually might want to make a movie again. If I could just do it from one location and don't have to go anywhere,
right?
And, you know, digital actors
yes.
and, you know,
open the possibilities.
Oh my God, that would be
I like
fun.
It. Speaking of which, that kind of ties into, have you seen any of the new Black Mirror episodes?
No, I have wanted to watch them, but I haven't. How are they?
Well, they're good. And what's funny is that I actually had only seen like one or two Black Mirror episodes, period. Like I hadn't watched all of the seasons, which is crazy because I knew that it would be good, but it was just one of those things I kind of kept forgetting about. So I'd seen like the Star Trek one, which
awesome.
Was great. And like the one where everybody's obsessed with their phones and like had their ranking on their phones, which is Jessica Chastain, I think. Or no, maybe it was somebody who looks like Jessica Chastain because I get
Dallas
her and somebody
Howard,
else.
Is it her?
Yes, right. Yeah, I get them.
I just saw a picture of the two of them together
so mixed
where
up,
they
so
were.
Now I don't remember.
I thought they, I don't remember where they did this. They did a song where I'm not, they both sang, I'm not Bryce or I'm not, I remember, but there was a picture of the two of them at that joke. But they do look so much alike. Because she's actually Bryce Dallas Howard is in Rocket Man, by the way.
I'm trying.
She plays Elton's mom.
Oh, really?
And she sings in that. So I was gonna. But
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well,
But yeah, the new episodes of Black Mirror are getting a lot of flack. They're saying it's very dull or whatever. And it's true. I have not seen all of the other seasons, so I can't compare it to that. But just standalone, I thought they were really good, especially the one with Anthony Mackie. It's a really interesting one where he and his friend kind of are in this VR game and they are selecting their own avatars. And one of them is a guy and one of them is a girl. And they kind of have this strange relationship in the game. And, you know, it's very Black Mirror in that it's a little twisted, very adult, but like it's this really interesting take. And just talking about VR made me think of it because I know a lot of the episodes that I've seen are
I'm
so technologically
to
based
and
in there.
The Star Trek one was kind of like that too, right? Because that was a really I just remember being blown away by that episode. Like that was such a good episode.
Oh, it was
I did watch the first Twilight
that was a
Zone.
Really good episode.
I didn't get to see any of the others yet though.
I don't think I've seen the very last ones, but I have seen most of them. I enjoyed most of them. Some of them again had that same thing where like, is it weird enough? You know what I mean? Like they could have made it a little weirder, but it was still very in the same vein of the original show. And I mean, it was,
it's just funny that he's doing the what do you call it? the Rod Serling part. Yeah. Jordan
Rod Serling part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. He's so great. I love that there's that new movie coming out that I can't even remember the name of at the moment, but there's like a horror movie that's coming out and their entire ad campaign is just Jordan Peele thinks it's amazing.
That's funny.
And I'm like, you know what? That's cred. I get it. I would think that I'd be doing the same thing. But it's like, I have no idea what the movie is, what it's about, anything about it. All I've ever seen are like splash pages of like, Jordan Peele says.
Well, then there's that movie.
This is the perfect movie.
That came out of nowhere. The Jim Jarmusch movie that's with Bill Murray and I forget who else is in it, but it's like a zombie apocalypse movie.
Yeah, that one I think comes out tonight, actually. Yeah, the Dead Don't Die or something like that.
Which I didn't even know. That just like came out of nowhere. So I'm curious about that one. And
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, man. There's like a lot that I still am interested in seeing. Men in Black comes out tonight, the new one.
Yeah. I forgot Men in Black. Holy moly. I thought that was like in July. Like anything coming out in July? Like everything is...
No. Well, Spider-Man is coming out in like, July.
What happened?
And, I know. I don't remember.
It's like a fat kid who eats all the candy before they. I didn't know I had to save it. You know, like all the movies are coming.
I didn't know. Yeah.
What's going on?
But no, I mean, I'm happy, man. I'm getting some good, fun movies. We also went and saw John Wick 3, which was tons of fun. Like, we had a great time with that one. And it's just more of what you want. You know what I mean? Like, it's just great.
I know. I do want to see. I want to try and get to see Brightburn. You know what? I don't think I want to see that in the movie.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to wait. I'll watch that one at home for some reason.
I know. I want to try and give money to those kind of movies in the theater. But when you do have so many blockbuster ones, it's tough because it's like, okay, but I do really want to see like the good effects ones.
Well, what's crazy is I start calculating.
And I so rarely get to the movies at night anymore. Normally I try and go during the day because I have so much else to do and so many other obligations.
Yeah, it's hard to get out them. But that's why I've kind of, you know, when movies come out ahead of time on Vudu or and stuff like that, I'm almost okay with the price, the $19 price, because that's about what you're going to pay anyway if you go to the movies. You're going to pay whatever it is.
Yeah, I never have done that, but I would.
Yeah, I mean,
totally
you're
going to
pay the $15.
That.
Then if you get popcorn and soda, you're already $26 in.
Oh yeah, you save money basically.
And I'm getting extras, and if you don't like the movie, all right, whatever. But you know, so I've done that with a few movies.
Mm-hmm.
I just did that with Stan and Ollie. I just saw that movie, the Laurel and Hardy movie that stars.
That was really
good. Definitely worth renting at least when it comes out.
The trailer was good.
Really good movie.
I definitely want to see it, but I was not planning on seeing it in the theater. It's definitely one of those, like, watch it at home on a Sunday afternoon.
It was just really well done. Like, it wasn't, it didn't fall into any tropes. It was really its own story. Like, I just found it very interesting, you know, it was very well done. I saw that one, and there's another movie I've been in the middle of, I haven't finished it yet. The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, that's the Terry Gilliam film that finally came out after all these years, except with Johnny Depp. Now they have, what's his name? Kylo Ren is the star of it. And Jonathan Price is Don Quixote. And it's really good so far. It's not at all what I thought it was going to be, because after seeing that documentary about how the film fell apart, you know, like how it didn't never got made. You know, you would see scenes from it in the movie, but you don't know what the story is really. So now seeing the story, you know, it's different than I thought it was going to be, but it's a time travel story of sorts.
Interesting.
So, but it's good. I mean, like I said, I'm only halfway in. So it's a very Terry Gilliam film, you know,
interesting.
That's what I'll say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's how I felt about, we didn't talk about Good Omens.
God, yes.
You saw that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. But I felt like it took me the first episode to warm up to it because I don't watch a lot of British shows anymore, even though I used to like all the time. And I love, you know, that kind of, I don't know, there's a type of humor, not even humor, but a tone, you know, that's very different. And it did take me about the first episode to warm up to it. But by the time I got into the second and third episode, I was loving it. And by the time I was done with it, it's only a 6-episode miniseries event. But by the time you're done with it, you know how you have some of those moments where you're like watching something and you don't even realize that you're just like smiling and your hands like over your heart. And you're just like, you know, you're just like, oh, I'm just really having a moment with this. You
know? Yeah. Cause it makes you want to watch it again too, because it's like, you didn't appreciate.
Yes. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it again.
That. Like this is a Neil Gaiman thing. Like I realize where, same thing happened to me with Neverwhere, you know, the original British one. When I was watching it, like I was kind of enjoying it, but then at the same time, you know, it took me a while to finally get into it. Then when I was into it, I wanted to rewatch it because now I could see it from the different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
So David Tennant was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened to me when I started watching Doctor Who. Like when I started watching Doctor Who way back, you know, when it rebooted, not like the old ones, but when it was like Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant and stuff, the first few episodes, I was like, I don't know, you know, and now when I rewatch those same episodes, I love them because you're into it. You get it.
You're
there. Your mental headspace is ready to receive that type of.
And it's so weird because when I first watched the Eccleston one, like you watch it, you're like, oh, he's interesting. But now going back to it, man, was he dull, because it was great for him.
And I loved him so much.
It was
at the time. I loved him. I was so sad he left.
I was surprised too, because I'm like, really? You're only doing like, what did you do? 5-6 episodes? Like that's it?
Yes. You know? And when Tennant started, I was not, you know, in love with him immediately. Now he's my favorite. I mean, I'm Tennant for life, you know, so him and Michael Sheen again in Good Omens were such great partners. I mean, what fantastic casting. The chemistry between them was superb.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was written for them. They didn't even know it, but obviously they did. And someone knew it.
And also Brian May had, I guess he was involved sort of in the music, because there was one song at the end of the first episode where it was the Good Omens theme. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like Brian May playing. And then all of a sudden in the credits, it said something like special thanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a
good
special thanks, Brian May. And then that was at the end of the first episode. Then by the time we get to.
Really good year. That's amazing.
His guitar playing for me is so, I've always loved his sound. It's like so distinctive. Like you always know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it out of this world?
Like he's an astrophysicist or something?
Yeah, because that was one thing. I love that they did that in the Queen movie. Not to jump around, but we're living up to our Smash Cuts name. But I love that they showed the science of how they thought about music. They had a lot of Queen music, especially in the last two episodes of the show. I don't know if you noticed, anytime David Tennant showed up, there was always some Queen song playing, or he was listening to it in the car, or even when the car is on fire, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I wonder if they had asked them, hey, can you guys do the music? And they decided, you know, not to do it, but at least lent the songs and then gave, you know, did a little bit of stuff here and there, because it was, that they did use that wasn't by Queen definitely had like a Flash Gordon-ish kind of, you know, vibe.
It did. Very much. Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, which is why I thought it was brilliant. I did. I love the music. I love the visuals. I love the story. The friendship between them, the two characters, was just superb. And Michael Sheen is another actor that I flip-flop with. And I know that I like him as an actor because I know that he's good I flip-flop with him. You know what I mean? Like I can tell he's very talented because I see him in certain things and love him, and see him in certain things. And it's, the problem is he doesn't always play a villain that you love to hate. And that's where I flip flop, because I mean, I'll never be able to bleach the image from my mind of him in Tron Legacy, because that character was
corny,
just so annoying. I hated him so much in that.
Well, it's weird because for me,
but
he was always Tony Blair. He played him three times, so he was always stuck in my mind as Tony Blair.
Yes. No, I get it. And he was great in Frost Nixon. And I thought he was great in the Underworld movie series where he was the lead werewolf, the Lycan. I thought he was fantastic in that. He was kind of sexy in that. And you're just kind of like, wait, Michael Sheen, what's happening? but he was great in this. This to me was almost like that Tron Legacy character, like, but good. You know what I mean? Like, a little weird. This is funny, like hair.
Perfect. Yeah. He played it just the right amount, right? Like of, being a fop a little bit.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I think you were the one who was telling me about a certain question that he was asked on, by a reporter.
They asked him, I think it was Thor was on. They were talking, spoilers for anyone. They were asking him about the fat suit that he wears in the Avengers movie. And so, Michael Sheen says, you know, he was doing an interview and the reporter asked him, how long did it take you to put the fat suit on that you had to wear for Good Omens? And he's like, I wasn't wearing a fat suit in Good Omens.
Yeah, I know.
Which is horrible.
Which I guess is it is horrible. First of all, like, oh my God. But second of all, I guess it's kind of a compliment because obviously in person he didn't, I mean, he must have been looking trim, right?
Yeah.
But, but still, it was so
I know,
rude.
It's such a crazy, it's
rude.
Almost as bad as asking someone, oh, are you pregnant? You know, like that's very similar.
Right? I know. I'm like, no, I just like, you know.
Yeah, I like
I
bread.
Like bread. What do you want?
Yeah, I usually say, no, I'm a man, but thanks for asking.
What do you want from me?
Oh,
yeah. We haven't gotten there yet, but yeah, so there's definitely a lot coming up. There's definitely been a lot going on. Like, I feel like it's really good. I'm super excited for Legion. Season 3 is coming out. I love the first season. I love the second season too, but I know it lost a lot of people because it was slow and the tone was a little heavier. You know, but I still was with it. I loved it. I thought it was incredible. And I can't wait for season 3. It is going to be the final season. So we know that it's wrapping up.
When does it start?
The artwork for it. The end of this month. It's a 20-something. But the artwork for the third season promos are all very like 70s psychedelic kind of stuff. And even in their costuming, the costuming in that show and the art direction of that show and the music. And seriously, like every detail in that, I feel like is given as much attention as like, I don't know, a Michelle Gondry music video or something. You know what I mean? Like something that's just so well thought out and choreographed, even when it's not a dance, it's just, just perfect.
I saw the first four episodes of the first season, which I loved. I need to finish, but I think I saw more than that. But every aspect of it visually was amazing, you know, and even who they cast, like the one guy who's the, I've known him for so many movies. He was in Popeye. I blank out his name. He always does all this kind of weird movement. He plays the doctor
Carrie. I mean, I don't remember the guy's real name.
I mean, I've seen him for years. Like he was, on Broadway and he was in, Popeye and.
Oh, and you know who was, Varuk, the villain in the first season is the Sultan in Aladdin.
Maybe that's why I recognized him.
Yes.
Okay, maybe that's why. Yeah, because I kept saying
maybe,
he looks so familiar.
Maybe. He's been in a lot. I was looking at his IMDb page a while ago, and now I can't remember anything. But I remember being like, oh my God, he's been in a million things. You would definitely recognize a lot of stuff that he's in, but nothing comes to mind at the moment, of course, because I'm on the phone with you recording.
Yes. Yeah, no, if my mind goes completely, it's like white paper. You know, I can't blank my mind out to go to sleep, but to record a podcast, my mind came blank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the thing. That's the thing that I wanted to say about Aladdin, though, because I am sure that someone else out there had to have noticed this, too. But almost immediately upon sitting down, first of all, I didn't remember that it was directed by Guy Ritchie. So I sat down and was kind of like, oh, I didn't realize that. And I'm sure I read that sometime before, but I didn't. But I was pleasantly surprised. Very nice. Fine. But the second thing that I noticed was that the actress who plays Jasmine, Princess Jasmine, looks exactly like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Like, it didn't go away.
Exactly.
Yeah, she does.
The nose, the lips, the cheekbones, everything except for like her skin color and hair color. You know what I mean? Like, perfect representation.
Yeah, that was
Sarah
weird
Michelle
seeing
Gellar
that.
On
yeah.
There. And oh my God. And I couldn't unsee it because I recognized it immediately. And so for the whole movie, I couldn't get it out of my head. So it's just Buffy
in Aladdin.
In, you know, in,
at least she
can
sing
Aladdin.
Better than
but,
Sarah.
But the other thing. Yeah, well, leave her alone. Leave Buffy alone. But the other thing was, I felt like the Sultan looked like Andy Garcia. And it was because of the beard. They just have like, all you could really see was like the eyes and the eyebrows. And I never thought that a Varuk ever looked like Andy Garcia. But when all you could see was his eyes and his eyebrows, I'm like, oh, no, that
could
be.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Andy Garcia because he's being cast older than he actually is. Because if anyone saw Mamma Mia, the last one, he plays the love interest for Cher. And he looks...
You know what, though? Fuck that. Women have
cast... I mean, but he's...
in age-inappropriate roles for so long.
But I don't know if they did makeup on him or what they did, but he looked older. He looked like Cher's father. Like, he looked older than Cher. Like, he does not look how old he's supposed to be. Like, he looks like, I don't know if he had a rough couple of years or something happened.
Hey, man. Yeah, don't hate. Maybe he has. Maybe he has just had a rough couple. Not everybody ages like Judd, you know.
Paul Rudd.
Man.
Yeah, doesn't age.
Paul Rudd. Judd. I was like, Judd.
Judd Rudd.
Judd Apatow.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that, oh, there was, but, oh, that was the other thing you had reminded me of. The other show I started watching was, which I'm late to the party with this, is The Good Place, which is a really good show.
Oh yeah,
really,
I haven't seen
really
that.
Good show.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling me that.
The end of the first season.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
end
good
of the first season
you.
was a game changer. It was interesting. So yeah, definitely worth checking
Very
out.
Cool.
If you're on Netflix and you need a show to watch. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, we're definitely in that place where Chernobyl just ended, and that was fantastic. Handmaid's Tale is back on,
wow.
So that's good.
Sounds like a real laugh riot at your house right now.
But, you know.
Between Chernobyl and Handmaid's Tale. Wow. Holy moly.
It's true.
Then we're going to watch Schindler's List, the TV show.
It has been a little heavier.
So we're going to watch Schindler's List, the TV show, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God!
You know.
Yeah,
but they're such good shows. Like, you know, we like it. We like it.
I was gonna watch.
Yeah, we'll watch a little Daily Show in there.
I watched
some John Oliver.
And I have to finish getting back to it, but it's just so heavy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's only a couple episodes.
Oh man, it's just
it is. It was definitely one of those shows that I'm glad we watched it one episode at a time, week by week, instead of doing the like, oh, let's just wait till it's done and watch it all. You know, or I'm glad it didn't dump on Netflix all at once. You know what I mean? Like, because that's
I need a lot.
You do have to kind of digest it.
You need something happy afterward, you know.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one hit me the hardest, of course, because you know what's going to happen to all of these people who are rushing in to help. And I'm about to start crying even just thinking about it now. But just the amount of. Well, the lack of precautions, it's unfathomable to think that even the people in that facility didn't have any type of old fashioned hazmat suit. You know what I mean? Even if it was completely inept, you know, there was nothing. There was nothing. And I'm just
it's horrible.
My gosh.
And in the painful ways they die. Yeah, it's especially the one guy, it's horrible.
And honestly, I really feel like the timing of this is one of the reasons that I think people really got behind that John Stewart thing that just happened recently where they passed the funding for the 9/11 survivors, because I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, that we're doing the same goddamn thing. You know what I mean? Like pushing the blame, not taking care of our people. stop it. Do your job. Help these people who helped us. And we're like, you know, the patriots that everyone dreams of being.
No, I even saw a report that there's still dogs on the site that live, or animals that they don't live very long, but, but there's like generations of dogs that are being born there because, you know, no one's going to go in there, obviously. And they're,
No, I know. That's what it's been a thing that has been circulating for a long time. I mean, don't pet the puppies at Chernobyl. You know, like don't.
I know, it's crazy.
Don't do it. Oh, it's just chilling. Well,
on that happy note.
On that note, yeah.
Well, it was good. Good getting to catch up.
On that note,
At some point we are going to do our Game of Thrones wrap up, but probably the new season of.
Yeah, we got to get Dave on for that one.
I don't remember if he watched it or not.
He did. He just started. I think they just started it like within the last year or so, but they did a rewatch before the last season. Okay. So he's definitely up on it.
So then, yeah, so that we can discuss. I just need to get a crib sheet of names because I don't want to spend the whole podcast that guy with the beard, you know, with the
That's actually a really good idea. Just have the IMDb page.
I know. So I can sound like I've read every book, you know, backwards and forwards, you know.
So. Yeah. I know. I actually just downloaded the app Audible because I am walking more. I'm doing the Pokemon Go thing, but also, you know, while I'm walking or, you know, something, or even while I'm drawing or something, I can be listening. And one of the books that I downloaded was the first Game of Thrones books because I had been putting off reading them, number one, because they weren't finished. So I didn't feel like the urge to like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta know, because I'm like, well, nobody knows, you know? and also because I was enjoying the show and not knowing what came next was actually enjoyable for me. And I know that they are different than the books in a lot of ways.
I mean, the first season is very close.
That way.
Yeah, first season is very fresh. It's just it veers off somewhere in the middle from what I understand. I only read half of the first book, so I've never. Because then the series started. Because it was one of those things where I heard the show was coming, and then I jumped on to read it, and I started reading. It was like one of my first Kindle purchases, you know. So, but but yeah. So I do want to go back and read those at some point. Oh, you just reminded me of something when you said that, but I just blanked it in my head. Oh, all right. Well, it was good talking, and
it must not have been that important. Yeah.
I said you want some money, but don't worry about it. Anyway, it's good talking.
Good catching up as always. I'm sure next time we log on, we'll have plenty more because there's so much coming out. So lots of material to go over and unpack.
Talk to everybody soon.